Folks, how many of y'all are glad you're saved?
Amen.
If you're saved, you're glad of it. I promise you that much. Good to be back in the Lord's house this evening. I believe there's quite a few more tonight than there was even on Sunday night, and I appreciate that. I appreciate you having an interest in the Lord's house and about the Lord's work and His business. And for those that don't know, you saw my sister-in-law go up to the altar, and I don't know what she's got on her heart and what she's praying about. But I do know one thing. Her mom had surgery yesterday morning very early to reverse a colostomy. And I'll tell you, she's was able to use the restroom this evening. So I have a feeling she's probably praising the Lord a little bit. Amen. Way down inside of her heart, just thanking God for His goodness. I mean, because, you know, when you redo plumbing, you want to make sure that there's no leaks in your plumbing and everything's going good. I'm telling you what, God's good. Brother Tim, God is good to us. And if we started right now and began praising Him and thanking Him for what He has done for us and all His mighty works, we wouldn't get it done till the sun come up. I had a privilege this morning to preach up at the chapel service at the Christian school. What a blessing it was. And I preached on the simple thought of why worship. And I'm telling you what, we've got some reasons to worship Him. Just worship Him for who He is. I mean, you could start right there, Brother Gary, and just worship Him for who He is. He is Jehovah God. He is everything. He's the all-sufficient one. And there He is, the creator of everything. And how that He loves us. My goodness. There's no way we could ever thank Him or praise Him enough for His goodness toward mankind. There's no way. But we should start with who He is, just because He's God. Tonight, if you've got a copy of God's Word, go into the book of Job tonight, the little book of Job, and then we'll be as short as the Lord will allow. I'm about ready to quit telling you I've got a short message. I don't ever want to disappoint you, and I know how it is. I get your hopes up, and I know how it is when Chris tells me we got a short message coming up tonight, and I get all excited and just start salivating, thinking about the food we're going to eat later, whatever. And then time we get there, the food's cold. So as might as well just quit thinking about the short messages and just mind the Lord. For those that were here Sunday night, the Lord put it upon my heart. It was one of those cowbell services. Don't have them very often. God put it up on my heart to have a cowbell service. And invited two young preachers from Maple Springs, being Justin Cheek and Luke Ponder. And then as the night wore on, you said as it wore on, yeah, the first one preached for what? How long was he up here? Somebody throw it out. 10 minutes, 8 minutes, whatever that it was. And I'm like, we're going to really be done early tonight. And next thing I know, got the second one up there. And Brother Luke, he was just not much longer than the first one. And I could see Brother Chris, he was sitting there beside me squirming in his pew. And he's stretching and itching. And I said, you got something on your heart? So then Brother Chris went. And then it wasn't long, and I saw Brother Kenny over there. And Brother Kenny's up on the edge of the pew, and I said, you got something on your heart? And there he come. So we got to hear four preachers preach Sunday night, Brother Luke and Justin and Chris and Kenny. And it was amazing if you were here to see what God did. Did you see it? Did y'all watch the progression of a boy that had been preaching a few weeks and a few services to the one that had been preaching a few months? And then how Brother Chris has been preaching for a few years. And then you see Brother Kenny has been pastoring Brother Chris longer than you've been alive. And you could see that seasoned progression of the men of God. I'm telling you what, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm going to pray God to let us do that more often, because it was exciting. It was a good time to be here. Tonight, I want you to think about something tonight in your hearts. And I'm telling you what, I got a definite confirmation of what I was supposed to preach tonight by probably the young lady that's been saved the least amount of time in this church. And she's sitting right back here. But she was talking about she didn't want her setbacks to outnumber her comebacks. And I don't never tell anybody. I didn't tell Miss Cindy. I didn't tell anybody. But this was written down probably 5 hours before she had ever made a Facebook post. And I had put on my little sermon note card, don't let your setbacks outnumber your comebacks. And she had used those same two words in a post. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. It's nothing like getting a confirmation. It's not kind of like being in the Sunday school hour. And even happened up at the Christian school today. As we were coming in, Brother Pope, Stephen Pope was mentioned. And then it brought to my mind that I was just at Stephen Pope's church. And the next thing I know, Ryan Marlowe, the Bible teacher up there, history, whatever he's teaching up there, he come out and he said, now, preacher, whenever you get them up here, he said, if any of them go to sleep, you wake them up, bring them up and sit them up near you. And I got to thinking about that. And the next thing I know, that it all worked right. right into the message. Did you see how it worked, Brother Gary? It was good to have you there, and others come, and it's good to have the people that were there. But I'm telling you what, God gave liberty at the Christian school this morning. And it's just, oh, it's so good to be saved. I want to invite you to stand and give reverence to the reading of God's Word tonight. And it's kind of a lengthy read, but we'll kind of shorten it just for the time's sake of reading, not taking anything away from from God or the reading of His Word, but to show you that you're going to have setbacks. I promise you that. You will have setbacks. Just whenever you think everything's good between now, the situation between your dad and your aging mother. And next thing you know, here he goes and does something totally unawares, just totally off the wall. You get to thinking, and I got to think about your mom, Miss Melissa, and how that when your daddy passed away, that heartbreak and that grief. And then I got to thinking about her Uncle Gwen. And I thought, my goodness, they wasn't never a love like Gwen and Marie. They just wasn't. And then how that later on, those setbacks, those bumps in the road, those challenges of life, and how that God did this. And I was like, wait a minute, how does God do this? Brother Tim, He's God. And that's what God does. And I can only imagine you and all of us, we've all had these things happen in our lives. Just to watch God show up in some magnanimous way and just smile down on and give us something. Can you imagine the setback when you were told that you have MS? You're never going to have children. And then all of a sudden you've got children. Brother Danny, can you imagine the setback when you did a U-turn, when a place that you shouldn't have done a U-turn and got knocked down the highway 400 feet and ended up passing five deadlines whenever you flatline five times? That's a major setback. If you flatline five times, you'd have to call that a setback, Brother Scott. Only you see him sitting up here in the choir tonight, praising God. And you've got setbacks. I've got setbacks. We've all experienced, Brother Clayton, there's been all kinds of setbacks in our life, all kinds of problems in our life. But let me tell you, God's still good. God is still good. I want you to preach on this simple thought tonight. What you can gain when you lose everything. You think about that for a minute. What can you gain when you lose everything? One thing, you can gain a closer relationship with Him. Where do you go when you don't have anywhere else to go? You go on your knees. And when you're driven to your knees because there's nowhere else to go, where then do you go? You rise up in Christ Jesus. Let's read our scripture tonight. Boy, God's good. Folks, I wouldn't miss this for the world. You'll get that in a minute. There's a twist on that word. I wouldn't miss this for the world. It's like Brother Larry Key always asked him, what in the world would you go to hell for? You said, what in the world would you go to hell for? That's what he's asking them. What in the world are you holding on to so tightly that you'd be willing to forego heaven in its splendor and die and go to hell because of whatever you're... What in the world would you go to hell for? Tonight, the book of Job is the oldest book of the Bible. Chronologically speaking, is put right here between the books of the Nehemiah and the Chronicles, and you move right on through and tucked neatly between the Psalms, but it is the oldest book of the Bible. And it portrays a man by the name of Job. For you kids that are about phonetically spelling things right, it looks like Job, but the man's name is Job. And what a man that he was. I want you to read about just a little bit about him. The Bible says there was a man in verse number 1 of chapter number 1. I hear pages turn. I didn't tell you where to turn, I'm afraid. But verse number 1, chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and sheweth evil. There was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was also 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And thus did Job continually. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. I want you to see this. Satan is going before God. desirous to, Brother Woody, you pointed it out, coming out of the prayer room, to tempt my heart, to tempt your heart, to get into your family, to get your children, to get this church, to get into the lives of every single one of us, that he can distract us from the greater purpose and greater calling in our lives. That's what he does. Satan is a master manipulator. And if you think he comes crashing through the doors like a battering ram, oh no. He slinks in at the slightest of moments, in the smallest of cracks. And the Bible said he's the most subtle of all the beasts of the field. He's a sly, cunning creature. And he's trying his best to get into your heart, my heart, this church. But I want you to hear this. Don't you hear it well? When he comes in, and when you have struggles and you have problems, don't let your setbacks outnumber your comebacks. The Bible then says that the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. What's the Bible say back over in the book of Peter about that? That the devil was what? Like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's him. That's the same one we're talking about. And the Bible said, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Satan said, I've been going to and fro of the earth and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? That there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doeth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side, that thou hast blessed the work of his hands and his substance is increased in the land? But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when the sons of his daughters were eating and drinking and wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I am only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven, hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came another also, and the Chaldeans came out, made out three bands and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, the slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, the first three words of those last ones, it says, and while he was yet speaking. Now, Brother Woody, this was not some long, drawn out 3 month, 6 month, 12 year process of degradation from uprightness and prosperity to a place of nothing. This was coming one after the other, just like that. While he was yet speaking, here comes another one. And it said, and while he was yet speaking, there come another also said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Look at Job's response. Then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and worshiped. Now that alone is amazing to me. And worshiped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Brother Tim Anderson, how about blessing our scripture reading, my friend? Amen. As we're getting seated and kind of getting comfortable, just a minute. In the book of Numbers, in chapter number 13, the other day, we took you to the place where the Lord was about to lead them into the land that flowed with milk and honey. And as I was preaching on that, and I got to thinking about the man by the name of Moses, and how that God had commissioned him to go into that promised land, and how that he would be the one that would occupy the land. And Brother Clayton, can you imagine having something so, devout and holy given to you, that there's a land over here, and you get to possess it? You're going to drive out all the ites. That's the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Amalekites. If it had ite behind it, you're going to drive them out. And you, my friend, are going to possess that land. I mean, you then start to see the heart of Moses and how that Moses was. I mean, Brother Chris, he was a great leader of the people. His heart was broken toward the people. They would murmur against him, and then he would go to God on their behalf. But his dreams of a promised land, every aspiration he had and dream and hope of leading them over there, it would have been none different than a dream that Job might have had, an aspiration that Job might have had. He had a large family. He had a lot of cattle and oxen. He had a great substance in the land. And no doubt in his mind, he's thinking, okay, Job's probably thinking, I've got all these family members. And I bless God, we possess the land. And man, everything's prospering. Preston, we get to see God take my children and then their children and their children's children. And how this thing's just going to prosper and keep going. As long as I, myself, the man Job, as long as I continue to trust God, he's going to keep his hand upon me. And he's going to bless me. But nevertheless, I'm just going to keep trusting him. And Moses may have in tune thought the same thing. That as long as I keep going for God, although they be a rebellious people, although they be a people that are not turned toward God, actually they're murmuring against God. And as long as they keep chiding and murmuring against God, Moses kept going to God on their behalf and saying, this people that you gave me. He uses that term over and over and over. He said, they deride you. They challenge me because of what you're telling me. But anyway, Brother Woody, all the hopes and dreams that Moses had, I basically come to a conclusion in this matter. He's there, and now the people are murmuring against him again for thirst. Aforetime, the Lord said, Moses, you've come before me to the people on behalf of them that thirst, and I have told you what to do. You are just to smite the rock. He said, what is that in thine hand? He said, it's the rod. He said, take that very rod and smite the rock. And Brother Chris, that worked, and the water came out for the feeding, and the thirst of the nation was quenched. And now we're back at the same spot. And then I'm reminded about how quickly a setback can happen. The murmur again came, and they chided against Moses, saying, you brought us out here, and we're going to thirst to death. And if you wanted to follow along, I'm not going to have you turn there. Just trust me in this. And you can go read it for yourselves in the book of Numbers, chapter number 20, verses 7 through 13. It says these words. Moses goes to God, and God simply says, Moses, just speak to the rock. And we know what happened, or most of us probably know, but if you've not been around scripture teaching or preaching in a long time, or maybe you have since forgotten it, Moses goes back to the proven method. And because of his disobedience, he didn't speak to the rock. He smote the rock again the second time. In his disobedience, Brother Scott, it cost him a trip over into that promised land. God had promised him that land. And I'm telling you, my friends, that become a great setback for Moses. And you say, well, what can happen beyond that, that he'll ever overcome that setback? Bless God, Brother Clayton, he got to see the face of God. You said, no man's ever seen the face of God and lived. You're exactly right. God unveiled his face and took Moses out of here. But he still got to see God. Amen. Amen. He was a healthy man when God took him out of here. But he got to see God in all of his glory. Now I'm telling you, you're going to have some setbacks. I'm going to have some setbacks. This church will experience some setbacks. But bless God, when our setbacks outnumber our comebacks, we're in trouble. I mean, we better stay prayed up and hope that God keeps his hand upon us. And bless God puts that angel with a flaming sword on the pinnacle of this church, that whenever trouble does come, he gives your leader of the church, and he gives the leadership of this church. He gives us understanding and discernment to say we better back off from that, or we better challenge that thing head on. Because what happens if we don't confront it, and we just condone it and we let it go, the next thing you know, we're going to be one sitting around here with three cars in the lot. They're everywhere. Drive around on a Sunday morning. I just happened to come in late Sunday morning. I'd been down to the hospital to make a visit, and the Sunday school hour had already commenced whenever your pastor got here. I went to see Kelsey and Seth's baby, and I went to visit Miss Ruth, and I couldn't get out of there, and it took me just a little bit longer to get here. But I come by these churches that are in our community, and Brother Gary, the parking lots are empty. It's three cars here and six cars here, and it's prime time for service. And then I get over here, Brother Kim, my heart just swelled up. I didn't say my head swelled up, Kippy. There's a difference if your head gets swelled up with pride. Man, my heart bubbled up with joy. Why? Why would my heart bubble up with joy? Because our parking lot was full. These people parking down yonder. That's exciting. But you know, Brother Gary, if we take that thing for granted, and if it, yes, sir, and if ever our setbacks outnumber our comebacks, we're going to be just like they will. There's a lot of places we're going to go tonight is with the Lord's help, but I just want to take a walk through the book of Job. And I want you to think about a verse of scripture as I get through here. Matthew 10 and 39 is one that has always intrigued me. You don't have to turn there. I'll quote it for you, but I want you to see something. The Bible says in the book of Matthew 10 and 39 that he that findeth his life shall lose it. Is that what it says? Okay, what's the latter part of that same verse? But the Bible, he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. So when you lose it all, I want you to see what happens when you lose everything that Mary Sluter is. When you get to the bottom of Kim Caudle and you get to the bottom of Brother Dennis and I get to the bottom of myself, I'm telling you, my friends, when you get to the bottom, Brother Chris, you've just reached the top of God. As John said, that I must decrease. And bless God, he's going to increase. And Tim, if we ever get to the bottom of Tim Anderson, bless God, you'll start to see God for who he really is. Job was about God. Job was not about Job. Job was not about his substance. He was not about his children and all those cattle and the she-asses. He was not about all that. Brother Gary, that does not mean that he did not love them daughters. It does not mean that he did not love them sons. Even the eldest brother who was having his siblings over and they were having supper when the strong wind tore the house down and killed them all. Job was, he loved them children, but he didn't worship them children. Oh, he loved them. But he didn't worship them. That's why you can see him whenever he said, the Lord gave, but the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That entered a period of time in Job's life. I'm talking about of utter heartbreak and heartache. It entered into a period in Job's life of consternation of soul and mind, and everything that he was wrapped up in understanding this great tragedy and this great calamity that came his way. I can only imagine that faithful members and faithful followers of Christ all through the annals of time have come to that place and, why? How? What happened? What am I going to do? I want to encourage you to stay in there for God. And whenever the struggles come, get in deeper. Get plugged into the power source and get charged back up. I know that this is a message of encouragement for somebody. It could be for you or you. I think about you and Dane from time to time and how that you wanted the womb to be open as you would have children. And then I see this little fella sitting beside you and I see little Sebastian and I see, I mean, tell me God's not still in control. He is in control. It might not be Melanie's thoughts and Melanie's ways, but his ways are much higher than Melanie's. His dreams and his aspirations can be yours. You just got to get plugged into him and let him live his life through us. I bet whenever your daddy died, Melissa, you thought, man, what's mama going to do? What in the world will my mama do? Sweet little precious mama, what's mama going to do? I bet a man by the name of Gwen Card will never, ever enter your mind. But God knew before you knew. Before Gwen knew, God knew. God knew that your 94? God knew that your 93-year-old daddy was going to get into a stage of life whenever he was going to challenge the younger son and wonder, what's my son, who's he think he is taking over my life? God knew all that. There's going to be setbacks. I promise you that. I do. I promise you. Walk with me through the book of Job just for a few minutes. Go over to chapter number 19. I'm not going to give you all of them, but I'll give you a few of them. Are there not other people in the Bible that had setbacks? Can you imagine how great, Brother Scott, that Saul must have felt whenever the people come unto God and said, give us a king. Give us a king. We want to be like the other people. Give us a king. Kathy, can you imagine how Saul must have felt whenever God says, the people want a king, and I have chosen you, Mr. Saul. Brother Woody, I have a feeling he got, woo. I'm going to be not only a king, but I'm going to be the first king of all of Israel. Brother, that had to be a woo, I'm excited. You don't think he had a setback? You better believe he did. He's driving out people. He's defeating lands and he's destroying the enemies and haters of God. And then the next thing you know, Miss Mary, he starts thinking Saul's way rather than God's way. And that's where we run into problems. We start thinking our way rather than God's way. Troy, you're in for a discouraging outcome. You're in for a setback that you won't soon come back from. Because what happened, Ryan, if you'll remember, whenever he was told to kill Agag and take everything that he's got therein, the cattle, the oxen, the children, everything, and utterly destroy it. That's what he said. Samuel said, you get rid of all of it. Well, Samuel, he debarks to another land and comes back. And when he comes back, what's he hear? He hears the lowing of the oxen. He hears all the things, the bleeding of the sheep, and he hears the thing going on. And Samuel's like, King Saul, come here, boy, what have you done? Well, we defeated the haters of God. We defeated the enemies of God. He said, if you've done what God said to do, then what is this, the bleeding of the sheep? What is this lowing of the eye? What is this that I'm hearing? What's in my ear if you did what God told you to do? And that's the scripture that we all love to quote, that obedience is better than sacrifice. He said, we kept some of the best for the sacrifice. He said, you better obey God rather than worry about what you're going to do. Obedience is better than sacrifice. That was a setback. He didn't soon overcome, did he? That was a setback rather than a comeback. God then says, through Samuel, said, God's withdrew his spirit from you. Went to the house of Jesse and gave it to David. Become the second king. When Jesus Christ reigns evermore, he will not sit upon the throne of Saul. Not going to happen. But he will sit upon the throne of David. Ain't that amazing? Setbacks and comebacks. Comebacks and setbacks. Brother Chris, you ever had a setback? They just didn't happen quite like you thought they were going to. You ever had that happen? I've seen young people's hearts broken because they had their hearts so fixed on that one. And then all of a sudden their hearts and dreams were dashed. But bless God, most of the time when those things take place like that, God had something better. God has something more prosperous. And you might not see it right now. You may not see it right now. But God may have something far greater down the line that you can't see right now. I'm in the 19th chapter now of the book of Job, and I want you to see how to know him and for him to know you. How this thing comes into play. Here we are in the 19th chapter of the book of Job, and verse number 23 said, oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. Now here's what Job said. Job said, I know. Hallelujah. Ain't that what he said? Does he not say, I know? If you're reading in the King James Bible, it says, for I know. It's not that I think or I hope. But Troy, what's your Bible said? He said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. Is that what he says? Amen. Amen. He don't say, I hope that my Lord's alive or my Redeemer liveth. He said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And my friends, if we ever get to that point of knowledge, that you know that God's still in control. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that God's going to work this thing out. I got to trust him. I know it's going to come out in God's way. Yeah. Guess who I'm preaching to tonight? I'm preaching to the preacher. Because I am the biggest and worst of all of us, Brother Scott. If I have to hit you in the head with another orange, I will never knock enough sense into you to make you realize that God is in control. You don't know what that's about. Those who were here Sunday, I've already told you that those that don't know, I had a dream. Every one of y'all were facing the back of the church. The pews were turned that way. I was preaching up there, and Scott Wagner was sitting about right in here, and he was looking the other way. And Brother Garrett, I reached down the pulpit, picked up an orange, and I threw it, and I hit Scott right in the back of the head. I don't know what that dream means. Jerry said it means don't turn your back on God. I don't know what it means. God, I can't knock enough sense in you to make you realize that God's in control. He puts it in our heart. I can't browbeat you into getting saved. I can't browbeat you into coming to church. I can't do that. But we've got to come to the realization, Job was there. The Bible said that he feared God and escheweth evil. He turned away from that which was wrong and turned unto God which was right. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And then turn over one page. If you're in the 19th chapter, flip over now with me to the 23rd chapter. It should be about the next page or two in your Bible. Even as he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Look what he says about God. Tim, do you believe? Do you know God? Do you know that your Redeemer liveth? Then also, do you also know that he knows you? He knows Tim better than Tim knows Tim. He knows Tim better than Sam knows Tim. And I think she knows me better than I know me. Because she's telling me stuff all the time. And usually it goes like this. It goes in one ear and out the other. For those of you that need to know, that's selective hearing. It is. It's part of the male genealogy. It's a makeup of us men. We've got it. Have you picked that trait up yet? It's coming. Yes, Kayla not here tonight. Say amen, preacher. Your wife's not here. Yeah. Oh, your mother-in-law behind you. Sorry. Look what he said. Look what the Bible says about. He said, I know. I don't think, but I know that my Redeemer liveth. Now we're in the 23rd chapter, and look what it says. Job answered in verse number 23, chapter number 23, verse number 1. Job answered and said, Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him and that I might come even to his seat. Brother Clayton, you ever been there? You ever been there, son? Said, oh, that I could just find him. Oh, that he would show himself unto me. Oh, that he would just reveal unto me his greater purpose. Would he show me the Gwen that's going to take care of my mama? Would he show me down the line what's going to take place? Would he show me my kin? Would you show me my Bobby? Would you do that for me, God? You can't see that whenever you lost Bobby. You can't see kin. He ain't come into the picture yet, but you've got to trust God and it will work itself out. I promise you that. You could not have seen Gwen Cardwell, and I don't know why I keep doing it. If you weren't here, I would have missed a great sermon illustration. I would have. You can't see that. Job said, oh, my complaint was bitter. He said, oh, that if I could just find him. Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. He said, I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. I want you to hear. I've already told you what Job knows. I want to show you what God knows. He said, will he plead against me with his great power? But he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward. But he's not there. And I go backward. I cannot perceive him. You ever been there? He's just not there. Brother Woody, he seems to be so far removed. I don't know where God is. I need God. Lord, I need him in my life. I'm tired of crying myself to sleep at night. I'm tired of crying when I go to bed. I'm crying when I get up. Oh, that my complaint would come before the Lord, that he would hear me and hear me speedily. Look what he says. He said, on the left hand, where he doeth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself in my right hand that I cannot see him. Chris, I'm telling you what, Job is in a perplexing situation. Brother Ryan, he is in a setback. That's as mightily as I know how to put it. He's lost everything. What he's got for him is three miserable comforters that he chooses to call friends. And that's what he said. They're nothing more than miserable comforters. And Elihu and Bildad and Zophar, they're there. They continually prod him and poke fun at him and say, it's your fault, Job. You're the reason you lost everything, Job. It's your fault. You must have sinned. You need to come clean before God. Show God what you've done. And that was what he got. And he's got got a wife sitting there and she sees him. A lot of things think, a lot of people seem to think she's a bitter woman and mean. And maybe she was. Maybe I'm misinterpreting the Bible when I say this. I think that she saw Job covered in boils from his head to the bottom of his feet. And I think she saw his misery. I think she saw his great grief because of all the daughters and the sons that are gone and everything he's lost. And I think she says, Job. I don't think she was like, won't you just curse God and die? I think she said, Job, won't you just curse God and die? Get out of this pain. Get out of this broken heartache. Get out of what you're dealing with right now. I think for a moment in time, she was just like, Job, you're the one that holds the key to all this. Just go to God and curse him. He's took everything from you. Do that and just die. You'll be out from under this. Here Job is. And he said, on my left hand, I didn't find him there. And on my right hand, I cannot see him. But I told you a minute ago, Ryan, what Job knows. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And he said, but he knoweth. Who's the he in that?
Amen.
Who's the he in that? Amen. The Bible said, Job says, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That's what I'm talking about tonight. When your outcome is better than your income, because the income's coming in. And I'm telling you, God's putting the spirit in there. And the next thing you know, Brother Clayton, you start to climb out of that gutter. You start to come out from under that juniper tree. You start to climb out of that cave, Brother Chris. I'm telling you, you'll find God exactly where he's always been, sitting right there, ready to make intercessions for you. He said, my foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Verse number 16 says, for God maketh my heart soft and the Almighty troubleth me. You've got to get to where you know God, Brother Gary, so intimately. But you've got to know this, that God knows you. He said, he knoweth the steps that I take. Honey, he knows your groanings. He knows your tears. He knows our problems. Which goes back to what I opened up with. What are you going to gain when you lose it all? You're going to gain a God that still loves you. I would have to take the rest of the night to show you, but you can go on to the back of Job. Do this for your own sake of reading. Go to the last chapter in the book of Job. See if Job did not get a double portion. See if he did not get back twice that he ever had. Read it for yourselves. It's there in black and white. He gets back, Brother Woody, twice. Not just what he had, but twice. His increase in his substance was far greater than that he ever lost to start with. You say, wait a minute. You mean God just took whatever and just gave me a substitute? No. I have a feeling, Brothers Chris, that if Job loved God the way the scripture does, then his family loved God. I believe that. He was making annual sacrifices and burnt offerings unto the Lord just in case they had sinned against him. And the Bible said, thus did Job continue. Is that what the scripture said? I have a feeling that Job had a family on this side of eternity. Two times that he had a family over there. Because I believe they went on to glory. Now, where's the consolation in that? You get to see your daddy again. You get to see your wife again. You get to see your husband again. You get to see your wife again. But greater than all that, you get to see Jesus. You get to see the one that makes the rest of this stuff possible. So I want to say this. Don't let your setbacks outnumber your comebacks. When you get down, get up. If you say, I can't get up on my own, Christ is the only one that ever did. So how will you get up? Miss Vicky, how will you get up? You'll get up under his power. As Miss Macy makes her way over to the piano. And Brother Scott is in Children's Church tonight, is he? Just play real softly.